What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer, and you have just stepped inside my captain's quarters, my weekly gaming update show where I talk about my favorite gaming news topic of the past week, discuss what games I've been playing, give tips on some of those games, as well as issue a weekly relevant gaming-related decree. This week, it's all about my exciting first hours in Star Wars Jedi Survivor, so let's talk about it and dive right into the episode with my catch of the week. Gamers, in case you didn't know, I am a massive Star Wars fan, have been my entire life. So when Jedi Fallen Order came out, it looked like it was finally going to be the first time in a long time, probably since the original KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, and maybe even I would say the original Force Unleashed, that a fully realized Star Wars game was finally going to be at my disposal. And it was absolutely the case, because it was not a disappointment. It was the first time that I truly, really felt like a Jedi. The attention to the detail within the combat and the way you wield the lightsaber in combat that Respawn gave to the game, I mean, that just, it made it perfect, is the way I felt about it at the time. I absolutely loved the game. I feel like Cal Kestis and BD-1, you know, the main protagonist and his droid, I feel like they were the best character additions to Star Wars lore in a long time. And honestly, in my opinion, even more so than a lot of the sequel trilogy characters that we got, even more so than Rey and Kylo Ren and Finn. And as much as I liked those characters, none of them really resonated with me to the level that Cal Kestis did. I loved his story in Fallen Order. The way that that game ended, we all knew that there was going to be a sequel. As long as the game sold well enough, reviewed well enough, we knew that it was coming. Well, thankfully, both of those things were very positive, great reviews, great sales, so there was really no question there was going to be a sequel. We just had to wait 3.5 years. And I'm okay with that, because that means there is that much more time for Respawn, the developer, to put that fine TLC detail attention to the game. And honestly, give them time to think of even more things to add, instead of just having a quick cash-in sequel, which, as I'm about to discuss with you gamers, in my first 11 hours with the game, I can very confidently tell you this game is not a quick cash-grab sequel. So, it is the weekend of launch for Jedi Survivor, and I was able over the last 2 days, Friday and Saturday, to get 11 hours, as I stated, into the game. And you know, it may sound like that's a pretty decent amount of time, and oh man, you must be pretty far into the game. Gamers, that is not the case at all, because there is just a massive amount of stuff to do in this game. You know, there was a decent amount of stuff to do in Fallen Order within each planet that you go to, but there is just so much content packed into just what I've already done so far. But first things first, and we'll kind of start with the story here, and the game picks up years after the end of Fallen Order, and we see Cal and BD-1, they're kind of just going through the galaxy doing different missions for Saw Gerrera, and essentially, if you don't know who he is a rebel leader who is very much a guerrilla tactics kind of guy, but he is doing whatever he can throughout the galaxy to thwart the Empire. So we see Cal and BD-1 at the beginning of this game on a mission in Coruscant for Saw Gerrera. And I won't go into the details of what the mission is because I don't want to spoil anything for you guys. But bottom line is, it's almost a perfect introductory slash training level for the game. And I thought that, I mean, a lot of games nowadays, I feel like most games probably nowadays do training levels so much better than what they were back in the day, where it was just kind of a boring slog through teaching us how to play the game. Well, that was not the case with Jedi Survivor. I thought that the game did a very good job of just kind of naturally showing you the different things that you could do in the game, whether it was through combat, exploration, and acrobatics, wielding the Force, all kinds of these different things that you can utilize and use in the game, and how you approach the game and its gameplay. They were conveyed very smoothly to the player throughout the course of your time on Coruscant. Now, I will say that First off, the graphics. That is the first thing that you see, right? So the last game I played on the Xbox One X. So the top of the line graphics for last generation. Well, here we are and I'm playing PS5 and it's obviously 4K. I'm on an OLED TV. So we got top of the line graphics as of right now in this generation. And I got to tell you, as beautiful as that last game was, this one is even better. The attention to detail and the character models, the environments, I mean, it's just an absolutely gorgeous game. So you will not be disappointed with the visuals. And as you go through, you're going to meet different characters and you have different companions that you can fight alongside with. And that was actually pretty cool as well. But really, the details that I wanted to talk to you about are the combat and some of the new gameplay additions that have been added to the game, as well as my time on the first planet that you go to that really opens up the game after Coruscant. So first up, I'll talk about the combat, because I did do an episode a while ago, back in December, of Captain's Quarters, where I talked about the stances, the lightsaber stances that were going to be coming in this game, and that was kind of a new addition to the game and altered the way that it was set up. Well, honestly, it's not as involved as what I thought it was going to be, because I was thinking something along the lines of Ghost of Tsushima, where you have different stances or samurai or however it was set up in that game, but also flipped to match the Star Wars aspect of things in the form of lightsaber stances. Well, honestly, so far, all I've really seen hasn't really done anything to impress me. It seems like it's really just, hey, single-bladed lightsaber, dual-wielding lightsabers, dual-bladed lightsaber. It's just the different types of lightsabers that you can switch between, which you already had that option in Fallen Order. It was just you chose which lightsaber you wanted, as opposed to now it's categorized as a stance. So I haven't really seen anything that really makes me feel, oh man, this is awesome. There's these stances. This is game-breaking. And you can only equip two different stances at once. So you have to choose which kind of lightsabers you want to have equipped at any given time, which two you would like to have. And otherwise, you'd have to switch between stances. And you can only do this at meditation points. If you didn't play the last game, meditation points, I completely forgot about them. That is actually where you save your game. It's kind of like a checkpoint area. And it's also where you rest. And when you rest in this game, and I forgot about this detail, the Fallen Order as well, all enemies that you've previously defeated up to that point respawn. Now, you do get all your stim packs or your recovery items, your health items. Those are replenished if you've used any of or all of them, as well as your health being fully replenished. But those enemies respawning. Whew. There are very many moments in the game, and it was like this in Fallen Order, where when those enemies respawn, it can be very annoying to have to go back through some of those enemy encounters. So I will say that is something I was kind of like, crap. When I was reminded by the game that that was an aspect of gameplay in Fallen Order that I now am revisiting again in Survivor. Now again, it's not something that takes away from the fun factor or my enjoyment of the experience, but it still is one of those things I'm just kind of like, oh man, yep, all the enemies are going to respawn. So outside of that aspect of things, I will say the combat specifically, when you move past just the stances and the types of lightsabers that you're using, I feel the combat is amazing. I will say that I absolutely love the combat. I forgot how good it feels to wield a lightsaber in this game. I also forgot that it's not a hack and slash. I can't just go in and button mash and tear people up. I have to be specific and purposeful with what my slashes are, my timing of those slashes, and a lot of times be patient. Patience is huge in this game and something I had to really, really work on and still kind of am working on at this point in the game of reminding myself, look, man, you just got to slow down and it's more about parrying, dodging, and finding that open strike. And look, the first game, Fallen Order, got a lot of comparisons to Dark Souls combat at the time of its release. And it's kind of the same thing here. It's not quite 100% Dark Souls or Demon Souls, but it is very much in that same ballpark, if you will, where they're wanting you to be more methodical with your combat instead of just going in, mashing a button. So I appreciate that, though, because it also makes me feel that much cooler when I am pulling off a lot of really cool combinations of parries and dodges and Finisher Strikes, which have some really cool animations they've put into the game. But when you implement the lightsaber combat with your force abilities that Cal has, so far I only have really the two force abilities. There is a third newer ability that I am implementing, but as far as utilizing the force to push or pull objects or enemies, I have those, and they've been okay so far. They've come in handy when I've had thermal detonators thrown at me, and I can launch them back at the enemies, or if there are blaster bolts, I can block and sling back to the enemies. Same kind of stuff from the first game, so that's still a lot of fun. The newest force power that I've got so far is the ability to essentially mind control an enemy to where they will fight one of their own for me. So that has been pretty cool, kind of like a berserker dart would do if you're playing Assassin's Creed. So I've utilized that a few times, definitely helped me out in some scuffles. But that's the only real force powers that I've come across so far in the game. So I, in my opinion, at least the way that I've been playing it, my force powers are much less used as opposed to just really fully embracing the lightsaber combat. Now, I will say one big thing about this game that was highlighted before its release was the implementation of blaster combat. I have not yet received a blaster for Cal, so I have yet to experience what it's like to have a blaster in combat, or just in general, as I'm exploring the world and maybe want a long-range option when I see an enemy in the distance. I haven't come across that yet in the game so far, so it's unfortunate that that is not something I can cover for you or give you my opinion on yet, but rest assured, in forthcoming episodes of Captain's Quarters and my Captain's Logs, as I explain and go through and share my journey through the game with you, at some point, I am positive that I will be able to share my opinions with you. So moving past combat in the game, I just kind of want to talk about exploration. Exploration, I mean, jumping, climbing, wall running, rope swinging, grappling. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to explore the environments in this game, just like there were in Fallen Order, and I love it. Cal controls perfectly throughout all these different maneuvers, and just the dual sense feels great, and you know, the little subtle vibrations as you're sprinting or running against the wall, grabbing a rope, force pulling a rope towards you. There's all kinds of different things that really make the exploration pop in this game. And look, there was a lot of collectibles in Fallen Order, but I feel like, well, actually I know there are a ton more to look for in this game world. I'm telling you, the first planet that you go to after Coruscant, it's a planet called Kobo. And Kobo is, think of it as kind of like the Wild West or this Nevada. It's like a valley, a kind of a desert-esque setting. And it's not just pure desert and rocks and cliffs and canyons. All that is there. But there is also some beautiful turquoise water springs and rivers running through. There's also some tar pits, but you have these other beautiful accents, green bushes and trees here or there. So it's not just brown and dirty and muddy. It's actually quite beautiful, to be honest with you, and the sunshine, the way that it plays and shines down on you as you're exploring the world. I absolutely love Kobo. I'll just say that out front. You know, I always talk about in a lot of my episodes about a visual identity or a regional identity of locations in games and environments. And in this case, for Star Wars, I will say a planetary identity is what I'll reference it as from now on. And Kobo's planetary identity is just awesome. I mean, I just absolutely love it. The flora and fauna that are here, the unique enemy types, the unique creatures that live here. There's just so much to do. And a lot of the new things that you can do in this game, one of these things is collecting seed from different plants in the areas that you visit and the planets that you visit. And you could do this in the previous game, and you had specific spots on your crew's ship, the Stinger Mantis, that you would actually physically see these plants, and they would be kind of displayed there for you throughout the course of the game. Well, Respawn has upped the game a little bit here, and they've actually given you a garden to plant these seeds in on the rooftops of a certain, we'll just say, cantina in the location that you go to in Kobo. But it's not just simply planting and having a garden here. These seeds actually are purposeful in the sense that when you plant them, you have to let the time frame go by for them to grow. But once they are grown, you actually can harvest them, and then they are used to give you new dye colors and different other things that you can use them for throughout the course of the game. And the dye colors, if you don't remember from the previous game, massive customization options in these games for the color scheme of the outfits, or BD1 and his paint jobs, and all your lightsaber and the paint color and the all kinds of different options are at your disposal here. But those are implemented in that way, the seeds. So once you harvest them, you get unique color schemes for some of the customizable options in the game. And I thought that was awesome. So you have this addition of collecting seeds. You have the customization options. I'll talk about that real quick. I mean, man, like I said, from Cal's hairstyle to his beard style, the outfit that he's wearing, which is split up into like three or four sections, then the colors, there's multiple color schemes and variations of each type of clothing that he wears. BD1, every aspect of BD1 can be switched out, can be altered via color. I mean, there is just an unlimited amount of customization options. The lightsaber, as I mentioned, every single piece of it, the kyber crystal color that you want for your lightsaber. I mean, it's just so many different customization options. I haven't even gotten to where I can do the stinger yet. And that was something that you could do in the last game. I'm assuming you can do it in this game. So my point is, it's just endless possibilities for you to really personalize your experience here in this game. And they've just expanded upon what was already there in Fallen Order. And I think that's overall with the game as a whole, what I can say really pretty much covers the whole game, is the fact that Respawn took what was great about Fallen Order and massively expanded upon it. So it's also not just the fact that you can have seeds that now are a garden and all that. You also collect different, basically, ore. It's priorate ore. And this is currency that you use at a shop that so far there is a shop on this planet. I'm sure there'll be more shops as you explore the galaxy that you can use them at. But you use this at the shop and you can buy different music tracks to play at the cantina. You can buy different customization options for Cal, whether it's beard, hairstyles, different outfit options. There's all kinds of stuff you can trade it in for. That was not in Fallen Order. You have NPCs that you can talk to and have conversations with and recruit NPCs to come back and be part of your group. There are now side quests that you can pick up as you explore the town and talk to people and investigate different areas around the main objectives that you are currently doing. There is just so much to do in this game, and I found myself many times already in just 11 hours stopping, looking at the map, and saying, man, there is just so much to do. Like, what am I doing? Which direction am I going? And I'm not saying that as a complaint. I'm just saying that, man, there is a massive amount of content here. So if you were going into this game kind of expecting a 20, 30-hour game, you could probably do it if really you're just focusing on the story. But if you're trying to do everything in this game, I'm gonna put it to you this way. I've played 11 hours. Out of that 11 hours, I would say roughly 8 to 9 of those hours have been on Kobo. And I am only 18% complete according to the progress tracker in the map, as far as 100% out of 100% exploration. 18% is all I'm at with roughly 8 hours spent on this planet. This is just the first major planet that you go to in the game. So it just kind of baffles me, but in a good way. I mean, I got to tell you though, the lore that is on this planet, I've never heard of this planet before. And, you know, I read books and comics and all kinds of stuff in Star Wars, but I've never heard of this planet. And there is a ton of lore here and a lot of tie-in to the High Republic. And if you're a big Star Wars fan, you'll know what I'm talking about. The High Republic is the most recent era of Star Wars. It's a brand new era that's really, in the last few years, been created and being added to through comics and books, novels. And they are just now starting to get to a point where, within the year or so, Disney Plus will have new shows that are set in the High Republic era. But it's really the most uncharted era in Star Wars lore. But this game is tied into it very heavily, and Kobo has a lot of good stuff. I mean, I was just eating it up, the different story and lore aspects that you discover while you're on Kobo already, I have. And I am just absolutely in love with it. So if you were questionable in this game and you liked the first game, you have no reason to question. I am telling you, the game is amazing. It is absolutely phenomenal. I am in love with it so far. If you are a Star Wars fan, you got to get this. You're going to lose yourself to it. You're going to trade in your soul for probably a couple months worth of just 100% focus on it if you really want to do everything in the game. I mean, it's just so good. And I really can't talk enough about it. So I'll leave it at that for this week. I really focused on mostly Kobo exploring that planet as far as a section by section, because the way the map is done, it's really well done. And so everything is kind of segmented, and they have different areas that are either closed off, it'll have it highlighted in red, or if there's areas that you haven't gone to yet that you have access to, there's a yellow line basically highlighting the territory, if you will, where it ends slash begins. And so I love that. So I'm like, okay, I haven't done everything in this area yet. Once I am, I'll go over to that yellow line and cross the line, and then boom, it opens up the whole area on the map for you now, and you see how big it is, and you start exploring. That's at least what I've been doing so far. I've done some side quests. I've planted some seeds in the garden. I have just absolutely thoroughly enjoyed every new thing that they've thrown my way, and become to learn more patient when it comes to combat, and I'm getting better at it. So I cannot say enough again how much fun I have had playing Jedi Survivor these past 2 days. Now let's go open up my captain's log and see what other games I've been playing this past week. Gamers, this past week, there was only a couple of games that I did play that I wanted to discuss with you outside of the Star Wars Jedi Survivor content that we just covered. And the first game in that short list is the actual expansion, Burning Shores, for Horizon Forbidden West. Gamers, if you listen to the show, you know that I absolutely loved the base game, Horizon Forbidden West, and that I spent almost 200 hours in that game world going after everything that you could do in the game for the most part, as well as getting all the trophies, including that beautiful, sweet platinum. Well, as fate would have it, and pretty much as the past would have told us, Forbidden West has its first and potentially only expansion in Burning Shores. The only reason I say only possibly is because when you look back at Zero Dawn, there was only one expansion for it, and that was the Frozen Wilds. Well, when it came time for Burning Shores and Forbidden West, I was like, you know what? I do not want to make the same mistake that I did with Zero Dawn and Frozen Wilds, which was I pre-ordered, therefore paid for, installed, and had Frozen Wilds, but not ever once did I actually play it. So that little tiny piece of Aloy's journey, I have not experienced. And it really frustrates me because Horizon's one of my favorite series, period, especially one of my favorite PlayStation franchises. So I did not want to make that same mistake when it came to Burning Shores. I was not going to allow this to happen. I pre-ordered it, and as soon as it was launch day, I was like, I am there. I am making it a point to make this my focal content that I'm playing right now. And my goal was to beat it by the time that Jedi Survivor came out. Unfortunately, due to things at work and personal schedules getting changed around and not being necessarily what I thought they might be, I was unable to put enough time into it to complete it. But I will say that I felt like I played enough, 10 hours to be exact. I feel like I played enough of the game to be able to talk to you about it. And if you had played Forbidden West and were kind of cautious or curious about the expansion and what it was like, I'm here to tell you what my thoughts are. So if you played the base game on a PS5, then you're probably not going to notice a whole lot different here visually, which is perfect because the original game was just absolutely gorgeous. And I say on a PS5, you could only play Burning Shores on a PS5. So if you played Horizon, the base game, Forbidden West, on a PS4, as it did release on both PS4 and 5, then hopefully you were able to upgrade to a PS5 to play this content. If you haven't done that yet and are listening to this and you didn't know that, I am sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But if you played the game on PS5, then you're not going to really, honestly, in my opinion, notice any difference in the visuals. So it's a gorgeous looking experience, and it picks up exactly where you left off, at least for me. Obviously, I'd already completed the main story, so where I had last saved manually is exactly where it booted me up. And pretty much immediately, you get a call from Silence. And he asks you to come meet him at a certain location. And you do this. And once you do this, you find out that basically the Zeniths, who are the big bads of the base game, that wasn't all of the Zeniths. You thought that was it, but there's actually, it appears to be at least one more. And he's in this location known as the Burning Shores, which to us, we already know, is essentially what modern day Los Angeles is. But in the very far future, where it's completely different, overgrown with foliage, and there's been volcano eruptions, there's lava everywhere, hence the name Burning Shores. So Silence tasks Aloy with traveling to the Burning Shores to try to find this guy and essentially take him out and figure out what he's up to and try to stop any kind of other crazy stuff from happening, as pretty much the other Zeniths were all nuts. So that pretty much kicks off the start of Aloy's to the Burning Shores. And once she gets there, it's not necessarily a clean landing, I'll say. And she very quickly meets up with a brand new character for this expansion. And her name is Sika. And let me just say that Sika is the perfect companion or partner for Aloy because she is just as spunky and confident and really just an awesome character as Aloy is. And she is part of the Kryn, who are a tribe of people that you meet in the base game of Forbidden West. And these people are probably the most technologically advanced tribe that you've encountered so far in the Horizon universe. And they all use, for the most part, a lot of them use focuses, which are the devices that allows Aloy and different people to communicate, as well as to see things in the world that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. So regardless, she has that kind of connection with Aloy, and there's a reason why Sika is wanting to help Aloy once they meet and they kind of explain to each other what their purposes are and what they're doing, why Aloy is there. And ultimately, they agree to help each other. Sika is looking for her sister. And it's at this point that you end up going back to Sika's tribe base, if you will. They've been kind of stranded in this location. And so the leader, who was the admiral that brought them on this trip that led to this group of Kryn being stranded in this location, he's basically brought to Aloy and essentially approves her helping them to find these lost Kryn members, including the sister of Sika. So at this point, you pretty much are left to do either some side quest or explore the village location that's essentially set up there where they've made this kind of base of operations, this home base, if you will. And I loved it, guys. I immediately fell back in love with this game. It was overwhelming at first because I hadn't played the game and oh man, I think now it's probably been almost 9, 10 months since I played it because I beat it last July. But as I'm going through and I'm playing and I'm just exploring and walking around, talking to people, using my focus to find different text data points and going to the different tattoo artists and the armorers who can basically make you new outfits, which there are some new ones that I got for the pre-order bonuses. Pretty cool. Change the colors on those. There's also obviously the different vendors where you can buy weapons and things like that. So there's just a lot of cool new stuff. There's obviously all of those different categories have new things to play with, the outfits, the weapons. There's also a lot of other new things to experience within the game. And as I started to explore the world around the village, which was just absolutely gorgeous and awesome, by the way. It's a continuation of the West that you get to at the end of the base game, where there's a lot of submerged and beached buildings and just a lot of really jungle type environments that you go through. And I loved it visually. And as you're going through, some of the new enemy types that are in this expansion are actually pretty interesting. One is this giant frog-like machine that, man, it's pretty intense. I mean, obviously, it's hopping around like a frog. It's got the tongue that it can flick out at you like a frog. There's just a lot of different things that it can do. And then the funny thing to me, obviously, you know, frogs will eat flies, right? That's what they eat. They flick their tongues out, they eat flies. Well, these frogs, machines, they can actually set up pods around the area that they're in. And there's these little mosquito or fly type insectoid type machines that can hatch out of these little pods and they'll come around. They'll usually come as a group. There's usually always a group of them. And you can destroy the pods before you get too close enough to them to alert them that there's someone near and they'll come out after you. But all of these different enemy types, I really enjoyed
how different they were from any other machine type in the base game, or even in Zero Dawn. They were extremely unique feeling. There is one more, though, that I've met so far that I really, really enjoyed, and that is the Water Wing. So in the base game, you have the Sun Wing, and there's a couple other types, but this one is the Water Wing, and essentially, they are a pelican. They are a machine version of a pelican, and they're very interesting. They definitely act differently than the sun wings and other flying creatures and machines of the base game. The biggest difference being that because they're a pelican, they can actually, you can fly on the back of them and then dive into the ocean and come back up again, and you can be submerged for a little while. You know what? Unfortunately, guys, I did not actually get to that point. I just know that is something that you are able to do once you're able to control those machines. But because me being me and exploring at the pace that I do and doing side quests and everything else first, I have not yet gotten to the point where you can actually control them and do all this. So I can't wait to get to that point. But I will say the side quests and the main missions that I've done so far have been awesome. There was a side quest that took me on my skiff, which is a new vehicle type that you can use in this expansion, where essentially Aloy has a boat that she can use to. It's like a motor boat that you can take around the entire area of the Burning Shores. And it's great because there's a lot of little islands that are interspersed throughout the map. And you're going to want to explore each one of them because they all have different loots and different machine types and different items that you can find and you want to do. And the one side quest takes you on basically a path across multiple islands. And there's basically some betrayal and treachery and an interesting storyline going on here that you find out as you see clues on each respective island that you pass through. So I had a lot of fun doing that side quest. That's really the only main big side quest that I've done so far. And outside of that, it's really been sticking to the main story, trying to progress it along and open up and defog some of the map and get more of that area exposed so that when I do get a water wing, I can just go kind of nuts in my exploration of everything. So I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed where I'm at with the game and with the expansion at this point in time. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of more the stuff that you love, but also a lot of new stuff that I thought was extremely different feeling from the base game. So if you were wondering if it was worth the $20, I can tell you the 10 hours I played already, absolutely, it's already worth $20 to me. So definitely check it out if you get a chance, if you're a fan of the base game or the series in general. But that's all I have this week on Horizon Forbidden West. Hopefully, I'll be able to tell you guys more about my progress in it as I get past Star Wars Jedi Survivor. So that was my captain's log this week. Now let's go see out of all that I played, what was my highlight of the week? Gamers, between adventuring with Aloy and post-apocalyptic Los Angeles and traveling the galaxy with Cal Kestis and BD-1, honestly, it was kind of hard for me to decide this week what my highlight out of all of it was. But when it comes down to it, I have to go with a certain series of playtime hours that I felt just absolute pure elation as I was playing Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And my highlight specifically this week is all about exploring the planet of Kobo. Now, as I said earlier, I have never heard of that planet at all. I don't even know for sure if it was ever brought up in Star Wars lore before. It's brand new to me. So when I get there, just to visually see this planet, and again, as I talked about the planetary identity, as I called it, it was just a beautiful planet to explore and to look at and to take in the surroundings and the sights. And in any game, I love when an environment or a location that I'm exploring in that game has a rich history to it. And this planet, the areas that you go through, first off, are massive, and there is a ton to do. And the lore and the richness of that lore is just exceptional. And I just, as I said, was eating up every single morsel of information that I could get as I explored Kobo. Between the side quests and the cantina and the new different mini games and activities that you can do in this game as opposed to Fallen Order, man, it was just an absolute awesome time and easily my highlight of the week. Now let's go open up a chest of buried gaming treasure tips that I have for you in Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Gamers, after playing 11 hours in Jedi Survivor, there was a lot of things that I thought about as I was going through different scenarios within the game that I could potentially use for this segment. But there was one that absolutely stood out to me when I completed it. I said, you know what? That is my buried treasure this week. And what it is at a certain point in the game on Kobo, you're going to get a side quest that is basically talking to you about some disappearing miners. And this one woman is asking if you would go into the mines and search for these workers and find out what happened to them. So I won't go into all the details, but let me just ultimately say at the end of this all, there is a boss fight. And that boss fight is against a Rancor. Now, if you know Star Wars pretty well, then you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say a Rancor. If you don't, if you've probably at some point seen a picture or seen Return of the Jedi even, but it's the massive creature that Luke ends up under Jabba's palace and has to fend off and stay alive and fight. Well, they were in Fallen Order, don't get me wrong. But this is at the very beginning of Jedi Survivor. So when I see a Rancor come out around the corner, I'm just like, oh my God, are they serious? Well, let me tell you, this is a pretty tough fight. And I have been leveling up pretty steadily throughout the course of the game at this point. Don't be discouraged. It is possible to defeat the Rancor. And I want to tell you how I did it and how you can be, in my opinion, most successful in this fight without too much frustration. You're probably going to have to take a couple of deaths and a couple of tries to see for yourself the different attack patterns that the Rancor has. But once you get the attack patterns down, and they're pretty basic, he lights up red whenever, and any enemy in the game has a red highlight around their body. That means it's an unblockable attack coming, so you just have to dodge and get out the way. You just have to time it correctly, which is easier said than done. But his non-blockable attacks, just make sure you're dodging, and I would dodge backwards because typically he has this foot stomp move that is just absolutely detrimental to your health. I mean, just abolishes your health. And depending on how much you've leveled up your ability to survive and the amount of stim packs that you can carry at that point in the game, you may not have a whole lot of healing options here. So my point is, keep the distance between you and the Rancor. And when you get an opportunity, every time he does a blockable move, there are a few seconds of pause where he just kind of stands there and he's vulnerable. And if you time the parry correctly, it will continue to whittle down his defense. And once his defense is broken, he will be staggered. And then you have even more seconds to open up on him. Well, I use, and I would suggest, the dual blade lightsabers. So that means dual wielding two different lightsabers, not the dual bladed lightsaber, but the dual wield of two different separate lightsabers. That for me worked pretty good and stayed pretty consistent and on top of taking off damage and just getting those extra strokes in. So for me, I used dual wield and just really about timing. And that's really what it is, and patience. I can't stress enough how much you have to be patient with this fight. You have to double back and dodge and wait sometimes for him to attack you to open up the block and then move in for a few quick strikes. Don't get too caught up in the animations though, because if you allow yourself to just sit there and button mash, you'll get Cal caught up in an animation and the Rancor can attack you mid animation and then you're just getting pummeled and you could potentially die from it. Just patience, distance, dual wielding lightsabers, and you should be good to go. And you can't, it is possible. I just want to stress that early in the game, it is possible, but it's absolutely the toughest fight that I've faced yet in the game. So that's this week's Buried Treasure Gaming Tips. Now let's go see what this week's Captain's Decree is. Gamers, this week for Captain's Decree, because I was playing Star Wars, it really had me thinking about the fact that, you know what? We've had a lot of remakes come out recently. We have the KOTOR, the Knights of the Old Republic remake coming. Are there any other Star Wars games that I would like to see remade in the future? Well, to be honest, there actually is. And the game that I choose may surprise you. It's definitely not a more recent game, but there are really two that I would love to see remade. The first game is Shadows of the Empire. Now, if you're a gamer and you've been around for a while since the Nintendo 64 days, then you know exactly what game I'm talking about. Because if you were a Star Wars fan back then, this was one of the first, outside of books and comics, this was one of the first times that a video game was considered canon or continuing the story that was left at the end of Return of the Jedi, the movie. So this was a pretty awesome experience. And even though it didn't take place after Return of the Jedi, it was something that was supposed to take place canon-wise in between Empire and Return of the Jedi. So it was just, it was a really awesome story. If you ever read the book or played the game back on the 64, you'll know why. Dash Rendar was a great character. He was the protagonist in the game. And it was a third-person action-adventure kind of game. And if you had never played it, oh man, as a Star Wars fan at the time, it was probably the best, unique, just a original story that you could get in Star Wars and video games at that time. So if I were to have that remade again, man, I would absolutely be ecstatic for it because I never got to finish that game. I would love to see that game fully realized in today's technology, the graphics, the gameplay, everything updated to fit today's standards. I really think that they could have Lucas Games, that is. I think they could have a pretty awesome game on their hands with that, and a pretty good success too, because Shadows of the Empire has had kind of a cult following over the years, and I would be very shocked if it didn't garner a lot of hype going into its release and at the announcement. So I think Shadows of the Empire would be the best option as remaking as far as the older Star Wars games that have come before us. I think Shadows of the Empire would just be an awesome choice. Now, I had a very, very awesome, very close second choice for me, and I would love if Lucas Games revisited the Jedi Outcast series. Now, I know it might be impossible at this point because it would probably conflict with its title and everything. Might be kind of confusing with the Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor series that is going on right now. But the Jedi Outcast games, they were also, yet again, some of the earliest forays into original storytelling in the Star Wars universe via gaming. And they were really well done for the time. They were, again, third-person action-adventure games. And, I mean, it was just what it said. I mean, you were a Jedi at the time, and it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of gameplay tweaks that they really didn't utilize at the time that they could take today's technology, obviously, and really maximize the potential for this. And not to have a game, you know, Cal, I mean, obviously, this is the best that holding a lightsaber has ever felt in a game. So you have a very similar style with the Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor game. So that's one reason why I would say it's kind of an honorable mention choice here, because I feel like it might be a little bit too close to Jedi Fallen Order and Survivor. But I still feel it could be, on its own merits, just a unique experience because the timeline is different. And I just think they could have a lot of fun with it. But I'd also like to see an original game. I'll throw this out here as my final consideration. I would love to see an original game set in the High Republic where you create a custom character and you take them through like an open world or open galaxy style RPG. I think that would be awesome. As I stated earlier in the episode, the High Republic is the newest and least explored era of Star Wars. So to give a gamer, like such as myself and many other Star Wars gamer fans, I would think it would be awesome to give us this massive game to play around in that era and world and kind of take it in and absorb that information in that way, in the style of a game, because not everybody is going to read 400-page books and monthly comics. So I think it will be another way to absorb that content in that era. And that, I think, would be absolutely awesome. And I would be right there, lightsaber at the ready.
That'll do it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com, as well as searching for Hulk and Yoda on the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch networks. You can also find me on social media on Instagram at lostatseagaming, as well as on Twitter at lostatseagamin1. Thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.